Sorry, inside joke over here. All right. I know it's an awesome day. I think people are away celebrating to all the mothers out there. But we're here to worship God Almighty continuously, and we can give him thanks. So let's all stand. I'll lead us in a word of prayer, and we start singing to the Lord. Father God, again, thank you again for your love, grace, and mercy. You are such a good, good Lord, and your love endures forever. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us one another. Thank you for giving us our mothers, Lord. And we just give thanks to you because you have given us your son, Jesus. And there's celebration all the way around today. So, Lord God, may you be honored and glorified, and may the thanks be given to the one and only. Lord, as we gather here today, bring us together, combine us as one, that we would just lift you high, lift high the name of Jesus. And continue, Lord God, this week as we did last. And Lord, whenever we face, remind us, you are always with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's why we can praise your name. So thank you, Lord God, for this time. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing about Jesus Christ. Sing to the Lord, our Redeemer.
Yeah, you are shining the sun.
seated. Amen. Give glory and honor to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. There is no other name under earth, under heaven, by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ the Lord. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. The morning breaks in glory. At your name, a creation sings your story. At your name, the angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry.
Unfading love, and you never change. the Holy One in my unfailing love, unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hand, I still make time for me. I can't understand. Praise the Lord. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing.
Father God, give a praise to the Lord. Come on, give a praise to God Almighty. Don't hold back letting the Lord out. Don't hold back giving Him praise. Don't hold back praising God and letting people see how good God is. Because people need to taste how good God is, and they can see it through His people. So Father God, like this song right here, Your Unfailing Love. Father, that surpasses the religious things that we do. But focus on the relationship we need to have with Your Son. So, Lord God, it is by knowing Him, it is by walking with Him, it is by seeing Him and others, Lord, that we know that He is alive. We know He is real. And we can give You praise. And that we can experience You, Father, Jesus in us, by the Holy Spirit. Father God, it's not the external, but the internal. It is not what we do on the outside, but it's why we do on the outside, because of what is on the inside. Lord God, the things we do and things we don't do, the things we say, the things we don't say, I pray it's all due because of an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because God, without Jesus, the commands You call us to obey cannot be done. The things You want us, the way You want us to live, cannot be done except by Jesus. Except by having this relationship with Him. Lord God, the Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, He is strong. Lord, it is impossible to do the things that You ask of, that's already being done in heaven on earth, without an intimate relationship with Jesus. He stirs us. He motivates us. He's the lead leader. And we become like him, one who loves and glorifies the Father. He sets no boundaries with his life. I pray, Lord, we follow after him. We set no boundaries with our life. Where we go, what we say, how we do it. Because we walk in the Spirit. It is the Spirit who leads us all. And by your Spirit, we find comfort in you in Christ. By your Spirit, we can have the assurance of our salvation. And by your Spirit, we can fall in love with the living Lord. So, Lord God, thank you again. We give you praise. We give you praise at the name of Jesus. We give thanks to you, O Lord. O God, our Father, how great you are. We love you. We thank you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. What an awesome day it is. Thank you all for being here. It is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. So with that said, the church has a gift for the mothers this morning. So could I ask the mothers to please stand? And the ushers will come down and pass out a little makana for you folks. And as you receive your gift, you can go ahead and sit down. We want to welcome our guests and our visitors this morning. You truly honor us with your presence today. And if you notice in your bulletin, there is a yellow card. So for us to get to know you better, please fill that out for us. And also for prayer requests, so we know how to pray for you folks. And that's for our members, too. Always use the yellow card. I have a little poem for us this morning while the mothers are still standing. I'd like to share that with you. You can sit after you receive your gift. There is no love like a mother's love. No stronger bond on earth like the precious bond that comes from God to a mother when she gives birth. A mother's love is forever strong, never changing for all time. And when her children need her most, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all the tears and heartache and for the special work they've done. When her days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on through many generations with God's blessing on each one. Be thankful for our mothers, for they love with a higher love from the power God has given and the strength from above. Thank you, mothers. Thank you again for what you do in our lives. And I want to give some advice to our children out there. If you can just do two things for them today, and you just have to say it. These two things are very valuable, and they will be shocked when they hear them. Unplug, right? So none of this unless you absolutely have to. But ask them, Mom, how are you doing? And the second is, Mom, how can I help you? Wouldn't that be nice to hear from your children? It's words of wisdom. So again, thank you. Let's give our mothers a round of applause. We give God the glory for them. Again, a short on announcements today. Consider that we have everything in your bulletin, in your newsletters, as far as announcement goes. Please take the time to look at those. And for our Mother's Day today, we also have photographs that are family portraits that are being taken. If you didn't know that already, towards the back of the church by the child care. And Aaron is going to be the photographer out there. So if you didn't get your picture taken before service, go ahead and stop by after service. It's okay if you didn't have a reservation. She's welcoming everyone to participate in that. So you have a memory of a special moment to share with your mothers. Again, you know, for our first-time visitors, we want to welcome you and then just tell you a little bit about ourselves. Hopefully when you drove up, you've seen that sign out there, and there's three plaques on that sign. And that's why we exist as a church, to love God, love his church, and love his world. So we pray that if today is not the day of your salvation, we pray that you continue to seek him, and we pray that you'll be encouraged today by the believers that are here, that you trust him with your life. And for today, as a church, we will celebrate our salvation together. Amen. So I want to bring up Pastor as he continues to bring us his God's word and his wisdom to us today. Thank you for joining us.
So can I add one thing to what you said, Shanley? For you children, when you ask your mom, what can I do to help you? I want to ask that you help them in the way that they tell you. And not complain, but just say, gladly do it. Even if it is to take out the trash or wash the dishes or whatever it may be. This morning, I want you to be a church that is a praying church. We have some who are in really dire need. Some who are part of our church and some who are outside of our church. But let me highlight just two for you. One is Kim Avila. Kim lost her husband, Nestor, about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Kim has not been in church since February because she's been under chemotherapy. Several weeks ago, she asked, told me that she wanted to come to church. And as a pastor, I want everybody to come to church, but I told her that I don't think it's a wise thing for you to come right now because we have a lot of people who are coming down with colds, and I'd hate for you to catch what one of them have on top of all the things that you are going through. Well, she hasn't been in church, but since then, Kim has suffered fractures in her vertebrae. She has 9 fractures in her vertebrae. She did not fall. The family thinks that it's because of the chemotherapy, but it could very well be something else besides the chemotherapy. So I want especially that you lift Kim up in your prayers. She was supposed to be finished with chemo by the end of June, just 3 more sessions. And hopefully it's not going to be delayed because of this back problem. But really hold Kim up in your prayers. She's confined to the hospital now, bedridden. And if she's not drugged up, she's in a lot of pain. So I ask that you hold Kim in your prayers. The second person is Kathy Watts. Kathy had a surgical procedure this week. She had three bypass, several bypass. And she was hoping to come home during the week, but she's got a buildup of fluid in her chest cavity, and so they have a drain tube there. There's a possibility that she may come home today. So I would ask that you be in prayer for Kathy as that she can be released. Oh, she's home. Oh, praise the Lord. Your prayers are powerful. Okay. Oh, thank you for that. When did she come home? Yesterday. Okay, good, good. Okay, see how powerful your prayers are? Even before you voice it, it's answered. Okay, this morning, mothers are important to us, and I'm so grateful that Kathy's home. So you got to see her then. Yeah. Maren's been complaining to me that it's been such a long time since she's seen Kathy. So I'm glad you got to you're seeing her now. Mothers are real special. You've heard this many times before, but it's true. Without you, we would not be here. So mothers, you are so important. But Christian mothers are in particularly really special. This morning, I'd like for us to focus on godly mothers, okay? Godly mothers in the sense that the Bible presents them. If you would take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a passage of Scripture that is really, really important because it talks about a wife of noble character. Before we go into that passage, I want to read to you something I picked up from John Piper in an article called Marriage is Meant for Making Children, Disciples of Jesus. Okay? And he purposely put it that way. He says this, marriage is for making children, disciples of Jesus. There is a double meaning that I hope will help you to remember this point. Marriage is for making children. That is procreation, having babies. This is not the main meaning of marriage, but it is an important one and a biblical one. But then I added the words, disciples of Jesus. Marriage is for making children, disciples of Jesus. Here, the focus shifts. This purpose of marriage is not merely to add more bodies to the planet. You get that? Not just adding more bodies to the planet. The point is to increase the numbers of followers, the number of followers of Jesus on the planet. Okay? You get that? It's not for just putting more bodies on the earth and having it overpopulated, but for it to be populated by lovers of Christ. That's, dear parents, mothers, and fathers, that's your main responsibility in bringing about children. Okay? Let me say that again. That's your main responsibility. It is not. Your main responsibility is not to put food on the table, clothing on their backs, a great school experience, and hopefully lead them to a proper spouse and a proper job. All those are good, isn't it? But that's not the main purpose for Christian parents, Christian mothers. The main responsibility is to bring about godly children, to make disciples of those children. Okay? So making disciples, lovers and followers of Jesus Christ should take priority, I want you to listen to this, even over our own pain and distress. This may sound heartless. It may even sound impossible. But I want you to take a look, an example of a lady by the name of Mary Johnston. Now, I want to repeat this. Making disciples needs to take priority even over our own pain and distress. Clarice? Clarice, when you figure that out, can you back it up? Because I want everybody to hear from the beginning, okay?
We end tonight with one of the most potent powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me. He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20 and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you? I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself, and I'm still going towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
Let me read that statement again. Making disciples, lovers, and followers of Jesus Christ should take priority even over our own pain and distress. Dear people, the only way you can do that is with the love of God deeply, deeply planted in your life and letting it blossom and bloom. That's the only way. So as we look at Proverbs 31, I'd like for you to see a vision of what God desires in our lives, especially you women, okay? Number one, I want us to look at a definition of a godly woman. In Proverbs 31, the first thing that I want you to see is that definition of a godly woman. Verses 29 to 31. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. I think this is talking about my wife, Clarice. I really do. Verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. This is saying that a godly woman is virtuous and capable, and this woman is greatly to be treasured. I think you got to make your own determination. But as far as I'm concerned, I think my wife surpasses all godly women. husbands, I think you should not think of my wife in that way. I think you should think of your own wife in that way. Okay. You have gotten a treasure from the Lord. I certainly have. I have a gift from God that is precious. She is virtuous. She is capable. And I believe she surpasses everyone else, at least to me. Charm, it says, is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. The things of this world can pass very quickly. But you know, Clarice and I have been married over 40 years. And I think she's more beautiful today than when I first met her. I think so. Because she has grown in her love of Jesus. And her grace has just developed more and more. Dear people, she's not perfect. But she doesn't have a perfect husband. But boy, I tell you, I've fallen more deeply in love with her over these 40 years. She doesn't look the same. I don't think if you still had it, you could fit into your wedding dress. But she is more beautiful. She is more beautiful. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But look at what it says. It says, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. I hope, Clarice, you realize how much I love you. And I pray, husbands, you get up in the morning thanking God for your wives. They are a blessing unto you. So not only thank God that they're a blessing, but you got to treat them as they are a blessing from the Lord. That's why I wanted to add to Shelley that you children not only say to your mom, how can I help you today, but actually go do what they said without complaining. I need to get up every morning and say to my Lord, thank you for the wife that you've given me. Help me to treat her as this precious gift that you've given to me. Now, that's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. How many of you guys, when you get up, sometimes the things that you want to do become priority? I know for me, that's a problem. The things that I have set up as priority are the priority. But if Clarice is not at the top of that, then I've blown it. I've blown it. And then reward her, verse 31, for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I get the opportunity to brag on her before all of you. And you don't have that opportunity. But that's because you just haven't asked for that opportunity. If you ask, I'll give you the opportunity to come and brag on your wife. Anybody want to take advantage of that right now? Brag on your wife. No matter if it's in a big crowd or in a small crowd. Brag on your wife. She is a godly woman who loves the Lord. Number two, B, she is a godly wife. Not only a godly woman, but a godly wife. Look at what Proverbs 31:10 says and following. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. Man, that's pretty tough. Clarice, I don't think you ever did that. I think she went down to the store and bought the material already made. This woman is making the material. But then they didn't have, what's the store you go to all the time to buy your material? What's that? So Special. They didn't have So Special going on. But that's why she had to spin it herself. Verse 14, she is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her whole household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. Man, you look at what it's saying. She didn't get the servant girls to prepare the breakfast. She prepared it for her family and the servant girls. What a woman. I prepared breakfast for Clarice by running down to McDonald's. But but she had, I think it was cold by the time you got to it, but she had a cooked meal on her table. Verse 16, she goes to inspect the field and buys it with her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong and a hard worker. Clarice would be doing that, except in our condo, you can't do that. So she can't dig up the grass. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms, to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her whole household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linens and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. That's a really special woman, isn't it? That's a really special woman. My wife does things for me that I would have a hard time doing for me. Let me give you an example. I am soon to reach the age of 65. So therefore, I think I qualify for Medicare. You know who filled out all the paperwork for that? Clarice did. And I got a phone call from Social Security saying, just calling to make sure that it's okay that your wife set you up for Medicare. And I said to them, I trust her with my whole life. They weren't interested in hearing that, but it was important for me to tell them that I trust her with my whole life. Anything she does is good with me. So she fits this passage of scripture. Clarice is a blessing to me. I pray, women, that you are a blessing to your husband. And I'll tell you this. Clarice does these things for me, not because I tell her to, but because she loves me. She really does love me. And she recognizes how impotent I am in dealing with these kinds of things. So she's much better at it. So she does it all. I tell you, I am blessed with a godly wife. Dear people, you need to be striving for the same thing. Now, I'm saying to you, Clarice isn't perfect. And she would be the last person to tell you that she's perfect. And she needs to work to get to be a better wife, a better mother. But so do I. I have not a godly mother, but I got to be a better husband and I got to be a better father. Who here does not have that as a goal? To be a better mother or to be a better father, to be a better person? We all need to be better. We have room to grow in that area. But this sets the guideline for us, the direction for us to move in. Then see, she then becomes a godly mother. Verse 28 says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. You know, when your children can rise and bless you rather than curse you, you're doing something right. And dear people, I want to tell you this. If they can rise and bless you for the spiritual blessings that you bring about in their life, oh, you are blessed. You are really blessed. So She becomes a godly mother. She's a godly woman, she's a godly wife, and she's a godly woman. Number two, her actions, her heart and actions indicate a godly mother. Heart and actions of a godly mother. A, they are full of love. Love is the motivation behind all that she does. I kind of laugh at my daughter, Carrie, because she's a fairly new mother. Makana is only 3.5 years old, and Puali is 7 months old, 8 months old. Okay, and every time I ask Carrie how she's doing, she said, "I'm tired." And I kind of laugh at her inside, not to her face, but I kind of laugh at her because I say to myself, what goes around comes around. Because I remember those days when Clarice was full of fatigue from doing the very same things that Carrie's doing, you know. And you really, young people, you really don't know what it is until you have to go through it yourself. When you become a mother and you have those sleepless nights and you have to do the uncomfortable thing of cleaning up after an explosion has happened. it's an act of love, dear people. You can't do it without being full of love for your child. And not only is the heart and action of a godly mother full of love, it is characteristically sacrificial. Sacrificial. Boy, I think I heard Carrie say one time that Puali didn't sleep too well. She got up 4 times in the evening. And it wasn't just get up, calm her down, put her to sleep. It was hard to get her back to sleep. But she did it. It was sacrificial. How many of you moms have done that? I bet every one of you have done that. Yeah. Because being a mother is not necessarily easy. It takes sacrifice. And then it is steadfast and faithful. You don't just do it for a week, but you do it for the lifetime. You think, new parents, that after your child is weaned, after your child is toilet trained, it is easy after that. Some of you as adults are still causing problems to your parents. So it can go on for a lifetime. But the parent, the mother's love is steadfast and faithful. It is there through thick and thin. Steadfastness and faithfulness, especially in the face of the hardest and darkest trials of life, can do so much to powerfully communicate the love and grace of the Lord to your children and to everyone else around you. By being faithful and steadfast and loving and sacrificial continuously can really have a dramatic, dramatic impact on those around you, especially your children. And to realize that your main task is to make disciples can be profound. I want you to see another example. An example by a lady by the name of Rachel Barkey. Clarice.
6 weeks ago, I was given the news that my liver and bones are full of cancer. Just this past week, I found out that it spread to my skull. And today, even, I went for an MRI to see if it's gone to my brain. Estimates vary, but barring a miracle, it is likely that I will not be here in 6 to 18 weeks, or 42 to 126 days. Sounds like a long time when you're waiting for Christmas or something that's on back order, but when it's the time that you have left to cuddle with your kids or spend with your husband, it's terribly, terribly short. But cancer does not define me. Neither does being a wife or a mother. All of these things are a part of who I am, but they do not define me. What defines me is my relationship with Jesus. and that is why I'm here tonight. To tell you why Jesus defines me, to tell you what I have learned about what is really important in life. I have shed many tears over the past week as I grieve the reality of my death, and I will no doubt shed many more. But in the midst of my sadness, there is a deep and abiding peace and hope. A peace and hope that I would like for you to have too. So here are the things I have learned, the important truths I want my kids to know. Know God, know yourself, know the gospel, and know your purpose. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect," which is to say, we are changed by what we know. Several people have asked me lately, why would God take you away from your family when a murderer or a rapist gets to live a long life? The implicit assumption there is that I am a good person and I deserve better. But I am not a good person and I do not deserve better. Bear with me as I explain. I have done wrong things. We all have. True, I have not murdered anyone, but I have done things that are wrong. In Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This evening has required a full day in bed, which was disrupted by the fact that I had to go have an MRI, and a lot of drugs to make it possible for me to stand here right now. And that frustrates me. The other day, Kate asked me to pick her up. She's 5, so this doesn't happen very often by the sheer fact that she's just too big. But there she was, standing in front of me with her arms outstretched, asking, "Mommy, will you pick me up, please?" I thought, hoped, rather, that she was asking for something else, something I could do, because I couldn't pick her up. And I had to tell her so, because if I do, the bones in my back, which are riddled with cancer, are so weak that they will collapse onto my spinal cord. My best friend Shayla saw what was happening and quickly said she could pick her up, and Kate ran to her. But my heart was still broken. It is still broken that I can't pick up my little girl anymore. And I understandably got frustrated and angry. I rail against the fact that I can't do what I want to do, that I am stuck in bed all day while everyone works and plays around me. The worst moments of each day are the ones right when I wake up, the moments when I'm just coming out of a deep sleep and I'm becoming aware of what time it is, what day it is, and then I remember that I'm dying. My frustration and anger are normal. They are even right, some would say. But at their root, they are unbelief. They are my sinful heart saying, "I don't believe that this is the right thing for me, God. You must not know what you are doing, or if you do, you are not good, or you are not in control, or you are just being unfair. Because I don't want this, and you are not giving me what I want." That is what my heart naturally says, and what yours does too when faced with circumstances we don't like. But God is good. He is in control, and He is fair. And when I try to make Him into a God who serves me, I sin. Our natural bent is to sin, and it is our greatest problem. Jesus suffered. God did not spare him. Why would he spare me? if my suffering would result in good for you. If my suffering is the means that God would use to bring even one person to himself, it is an honor for me to suffer. Does that seem strange? I suppose it does. But really, it is the only way that all of this makes any sense at all. I have lived a seemingly perfect, picture-perfect life from the outside looking in, and in truth, I have been very blessed. But in my life, there have been many difficult things that the Lord has allowed. I have known the shame of being sexually abused. I have made poor decisions in relationships and have hurt others and have been hurt as a result of them. I have known the searing pain of loss with the death of a loved one. I have been diagnosed with cancer twice now, and the second time, barring a miracle, will end my life before I reach my 38th birthday. In his providence, God has used the tough things in my life to draw me closer to him, to show me his great love, and to teach me many things. I have learned that I am not perfect, and I have the scars to prove it, 13 of them. And they serve as a physical reminder of a spiritual reality that I can never be perfect on my own. I need a Savior. I have learned that the greatest evidence of God's love is seen when I stand at the foot of the cross. He took my shame upon himself and rescued me. I have learned that being a Christian is not just hope for the future, although it is most definitely that, but that it is the joy of knowing and trusting in a God who is loving and faithful no matter what the circumstances. So when I say that death is not dying, death will not kill my soul. It is eternal, just like yours. It is just this physical body that will die, but even it will be raised again, just like Jesus. And it will be better than the one I have now. Like everything, it will be better, because God is going to make everything new. And I know this. Why? Because I know God. I know myself. I know the gospel. And I know my purpose. I know I have a faith that saves, because my faith is in Jesus alone.
The last point is that fruits of a godly mother, there are fruits. I want you to think about Rachel. What kind of legacy do you think she has left behind for her children, for her husband, for her friends, for her acquaintances? Because Rachel passed away just a few weeks after this was taken. But what kind of legacy did she leave behind? You notice that our identity in who we believe we are needs to be first and foremost be put in Jesus Christ. That we are his child. We are his. He is our Lord. And therefore, we are commissioned to do what he desires us to do. And when we have that kind of concept, we begin to experience the fruits that he wants us to have. First thing I want you to take a look at is a person like this becomes a blessing to their children. Becomes a blessing to their children. We already read this verse, verse 28. Her children stand and bless her. But I want you to think, if her children are blessing her, that means she is being a blessing unto them. She is a blessing to her children. One whose mind and heart is centered in Jesus Christ will begin to do the things that Jesus wants them to do in the lives of their children. And boy, what a blessing that will be when mothers begin to bless their children by doing what God wants them to do. And secondly, her children become a blessing to her. When you bless your children will bless you. They'll become a blessing to you. You know, it is so very important that we understand, dear people, that God is amazing. When we love him, we think we're doing for him what he desires, but then that unleashes what God desires to do in us. And we become powerful when we start giving ourselves away to the Lord. And that's what mothers do, godly mothers do. They give themselves away to the Lord, and the Lord unleashes within them the power to do what he wants to be accomplished. And then finally, you become a blessing to God. Become a blessing to God. When you're doing the things that God wants you to do, you become a blessing to God. And sometimes it'll become so automatic, automatic. Every opportunity that God presents to you is an opportunity to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. These opportunities need to focus on the love and mercy of the Lord to offer forgiveness and eternity to everyone around. Now, I said to you earlier, making disciples needs to take priority over what? Everything, including your own pain, your own distress. Making disciples needs to take priority over that, right? And I shared with you the story of Mary Johnson. Well, I want to share with you another story, the story of another mother. I missed her name when I was going through this, but I hope you pick up her name, because here is another outstanding example of a mother who is a godly mother.
I'm Luis Cruz with this UT News update. A mother faces the man who killed her teenage son, and you may be surprised by what she did in court.
Only God knows why I'm not angry or why I don't hate you. Would it shock you to hear that I love you? I thought to myself one day, a while back, don't lock him up. Sentence him to my home. Let him be my son. But he took away from me. And I want to sing this song. So you think that you can make it through? Just remember, my God cares for you. Don't you worry, don't you fret, because the bed you lay in, my Savior, he's there for you to have met. Don't give up, don't give in. Today make Jesus Christ your number one friend. So I will close by saying, although we are free to choose, we are not free to choose the consequences of the choices we've made. So now that you know who you are and how purposeful your life can be, you have a new choice of new life. Choose Jesus Christ today. If you can't do anything else, please do that for me.
That was Tamika Brown, the mother of 19-year-old Richie Knight. Knight was stabbed in 2013 at the Linda Vista Recreation Center when a fight broke out between a large group of people. Knight graduated from Kearney High School in 2012 and was described by his friends as a standout basketball player. He had been rehearsing at the Recreation Center for the annual Linda Vista Multicultural Fair at the time he was killed. The suspect, 19-year-old Ian Ellis, pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Even the judge was stunned by Knight's mother's song of forgiveness.
I've done a lot of homicide sentences. And Mr. Ellis, I want you to know I have never heard anything like this, and I think Mr. Bessie would tell you the same. Anything, as weird as this may sound, wonderful in terms of a sentencing, when I'm sentencing someone.
Ellis was a juvenile at the time he killed Knight. Monday, he was sentenced to 21 years in state prison. Remember, you can get all your latest headlines right here on UTSanDiego.com.
in spite of all the pain and distress that this lady, Mrs. Knight, was going through, she still realized that this guy who killed her son still needed Jesus. Isn't that outstanding? Isn't that the sign of a godly mother? I don't know if she had other children, but I can only think that her son that was killed was brought up by a godly mother. And how blessed that son was to have her. Dear people, you can do a lot of good things for your children. You can be called a good mom, or fathers are not going to leave you out, or a good dad. But if you don't give to them Jesus, we're really blowing the major responsibility that we have. And it's not just for them to come to know about Jesus, but it's for them to come to love Jesus with this kind of love that becomes so overwhelming, so compelling, that the love of Christ is pushed out to the whole world around us. Let me say to you this. We've got a lot of ugliness and evil in our world today, don't we? And I want to tell you this. No amount of good politicians, no amount of good law enforcement is going to change that fact. However, what can change that fact is the overwhelming spread of the love of Jesus Christ. We, as parents, you as mothers, are given the high responsibility of beginning with your children, giving them a love for Christ that would be all-consuming, and letting them begin to spread it to those around them. Can that change the world? I believe it can. I believe it can. It has in the past. You know, back in the 1800s, the Great Awakening spread through Europe, spread through England, and England was going through a terrible time. People would be drunk before 10 o'clock in the morning. That's how bad it was there. But when the Great Awakening swept through England, many historians say England was saved by the Great Awakening. People marvelously turned to Christ. Their lives were changed. Can it happen again? Yes, it can. But if it doesn't start in the family, if it doesn't start in the church, it probably won't start. So I want to say to you, mothers, thank you for your motherhood. But strive to be godly mothers. I want us to bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask for our ushers to come forward. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Then we're going to take our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, as we looked into Proverbs 31, Father, I haven't given a lot of detail in preaching this message. All I've done is illustrate. So, Father, I ask that you give to each individual the details of this passage of Scripture. And Father, help us to realize that being a godly mother, as well as a godly father, a godly person, Father, means more than just knowing the right things. But knowing them so well, Father, that it enters into our heart. And Father, we are so deeply committed to what your word has to say that we're bound and determined to live it out, no matter what the consequences. And Father, it's this kind of love, it's this kind of diligent commitment that can change our lives, can change our families, can change our neighborhood, our state, our country, and truly our world. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that you were serious about dealing with our sin. Lord, help us to be serious about dealing with your love and your grace. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for those who are who will be giving, Lord. I pray that you bless them, Lord, as they give with sacrifice and as they give with love for you. Lord, may you provide for their every need. And Lord, I pray that you take this gift and you use it for your kingdom's glory. May not a penny of it be wasted, but Lord, may it all be spent the way you desire, to bring men, women, and children to a faith in you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.